نستعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعمه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووجد بالسخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المعيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our discussion on the subject of understanding self, to be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the fifth night of the month of Muharram 1423, continues slightly from a different perspective this evening. Jumping from the subject or diversifying a little bit to understand the crooked mind of the human being in which it thinks, in which it functions. Consequently, neglecting the self for which it is supposed to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a human being, He gave him everything, as we have been discussing night after night. Everything that was required by the human being was given to him to make his own self, to create himself. But man has always been thinking about everything, in every aspect of his life, crookedly. He has always had a crooked perspective to everything that he has seen. Everything that he has tried to perceive, he has tried to perceive it with a crooked mind. Yet at the end of the day when he has thought about it, he has drawn a conclusion about whatever the conclusion may be, he is satisfied within himself that the decision that he made, that the distinction that he made, that the discrimination that he made was correct, and he is happy, satisfied, and sleeps well. Without realizing that his mind thinks crookedly. Let us see how our mind travels completely in a different direction altogether, knowing the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing, for example, that Allah is one, and there can be none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The perspective of Allah in the mind of an individual is, you know, something very interesting said by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Sadiq sallam says, when an ant moves, it probably thinks within itself, it perceives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within itself as itself. It probably looks at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though Allah looks like it or thinks like it. This is no different from how the human being thinks about Allah, and I'm not talking about human being in general, I'm talking about human being who has neglected his own self. How do we perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? See how far we have run away because we have not understood ourselves, how far we have digressed, how far we have transgressed from the right path. We will see it, inshallah, during the course of the lecture. A businessman, perhaps, looks at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as himself. Or, when I say as himself, I do not say it as far as his physical is concerned, his physical being is concerned, no. I say it as far as his mind is concerned. Because he has not been able to conceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has not been able to comprehend the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he resorts in thinking that Allah is like him. A small child perhaps thinks that Allah is an old man sitting on top of his arsh with a stick in his hand and a big beard and ruling this man goes to hell and this man goes to heaven. In his mind, probably Allah is an old man, sitting on his arsh. There was a letter written by a small boy who wanted to buy a toy. He writes a letter addressing it to Allah, God, dear God. An application within this form says, dear God, I wish to purchase such and such a toy. And I will be grateful if you will send me $100. Wassalam, signed, put in the envelope, sealed from his name. To God in the sky, addressed to God in the sky. The postman, when he was trying to put this letter where it is supposed to go, he looked at this letter without an address and it said, to God in the sky. He decided to open the letter to find an application. A small child having written his application that I want $100 to buy a particular toy. So the postman perhaps felt sorry for the child and decided to put a $50 bill inside the envelope and send it back, addressing it to the child from God in the sky. When the small child opens the envelope, and he finds $50 in it, he says, my Lord, I thank you for replying my letter, but the postman has taken $50. In his mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the concept of Allah, or how he perceives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his childish mind, is how I have explained to you. Worst of all, the Muslim ummah have misunderstood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. When you will read the books of the Muslims, Allahu Akbar. For example, in the authentic books of the Muslims, it says, and look at the concept of Tawheed. It says that when Nabi Nuh, or during the tufan, during the storm of Nabi Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cried so much, he wept so much, that his eyes began to hurt. This is in the books of the Muslims. There is one sector of Muslims who believes al-khayr wa-shar kullun min indillahi ta'ala. Every good or bad is from none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means I am driven in either direction by him. It is a concept that you cannot comprehend. However, they believe that if I commit a sin, I am actually driven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to commit a sin. And if I perform a good deed, I am driven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform a good deed. This is how people understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a book, these are books of Muslims, I am saying. That on the day of judgment, Allah will be sitting on his arsh, humanizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims, and I am talking about Tawheed, and the concept of understanding Allah and perceiving Him. How far we have moved in our crooked mind. They say on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sitting on His arsh. And when He sits on His arsh, the fat of the side of His stomach is actually flabbing by the arsh on both the sides. It is, He is so fat, He is so well built that the flabs of His stomach are moving. And this is in the books of the Muslims, in authentic books, sahih books. When He sits, He is so fat that the arsh actually makes a screeching noise. And on the Day of Judgment, and this is now in Quran, on the Day of Judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sitting on His arsh, He will be distributing people in heaven and in hell. So He will take a group of people and put them in hell. And again a group of people, put them in hell. These are the people who have crimed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must go to hell. And therefore Allah will gradually be distributing each one, each and every individual one inside the hell. When everybody will be finished, when there will be none left, the Jahannam will say, Hal mim mazid? Ya Allah, I'm still hungry, is there any more? So Allah will then decide to take another group of people and dump them in there. Again the Jahannam will cry out, Hal mim mazid? Again Allah will take a group of people and dump them in there. Finally there will be none left. Now the Jahannam will cry, Hal mim mazid? Is there any more? For I am still hungry. Allah will this time decide to put one of His foot inside hell. This is the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the minds of Muslims. Crooked mind, the way it thinks is crooked. Whatever it thinks, it is crooked. How can I understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without understanding myself? How can I understand the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowing the secrets that have been kept within myself by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There was a businessman who decided to stay at home one day and decided that he is not going to leave home. Well, very muttaqi, abid. He decided he will not leave home. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him 100 pounds. He believed in the dua of Allah. He believed that if I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that He can reject my prayers. Indeed, Allah says in the Quran, He says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask from me, I shall grant it to you. So this man took it literally and decided to sit at home. He was living in a building below and there was another neighbor living above him. Now he decided to sit at home and not leave, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every morning, Ya Allah, send me 100 pounds. I do not want 99, nor do I want 101. I want 100 pounds and you must give me 100 pounds. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day one. Day two, it wasn't going to come. Day three, he is just sitting out, refusing to leave home until Allah gives him 100 pounds. He did not want 99. He did not want 101. He wanted 100 pounds. Sitting there asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the crooked mind. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, give me 100 pounds. I shall not move from here. So the neighbor upstairs thought this man is a very, very pious man and he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refuses to take 99 and he refuses to take 101. Why don't I put 99 in a handkerchief and throw it down to him? He's not going to take it anyway, he's going to throw it back to me. So he decided to put a 99 pounds inside there. And one fine morning as this man raised his hands and says, Ya Allah, give me 100 pounds and I shall not, otherwise I will not leave home, he decided to throw this handkerchief with 99 pounds inside it. The man took the handkerchief and said, Ya Allah, I knew. I was sure you were going to send it to me. I was 100% sure my dua was going to be mustajab. I was sure about it. Ya Allah. And then he decided to open it, saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I know you don't cheat. And I understand, I believe you have sent me £100. I'm just checking. This is the concept of Allah in the mind of an abid. Ya Allah, I know you have sent me £100, but I'm only checking. As he opened and he started to count, he found that there was exactly £99 in it. He started looking around here and there if he had dropped a pound somewhere. But he could not find it. Now in a businessman's mind, he talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Allah, I know you are also a businessman. You must have taken a pound for this handkerchief. This is the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the mind of every one individual. How he perceives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason we have not been able to understand him. The reason is we have not been able to understand ourselves, our nafs, the secrets within us. And therefore, to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far from us. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, salawatullahi salamu alayhi. In the book of Allama Sheikh Ali Akbar Nahawandi, he writes one beautiful incident. In his book, he says that one day Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was in Medina to Munawwara and he went to the market to shop for home, to buy some things, some groceries for home. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, as he went to the shops in the market, in the bazaar, he saw a man standing by the shop where they were selling fruits. And he saw this man, he observed this man trying to buy fruits. The man was speaking to the owner of this stall, that was selling fruits, and he spoke to him. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam observes. As he observes, Imam sees that he is sweet-talking the man who is selling these fruits, these apples. As the man turned away, this man took 4 apples and put it inside his abba, without the knowledge of this man who is selling these fruits. He actually stole it. And he put it inside his abba. During those days, everybody used to wear abba, just for your information. Not only Mulanas. So he put this in his abba. 4 apples were put in his abba. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam observed, Allama Sheikh Ali Akbar Nahawandi writes, that Imam decided to go and stop him. But he saw the man moving to another shop that was selling bread. He again sweet-talked this person who was selling bread, and as the man turned away, he stole 3 breads from there and put it in his abba, and he started walking away. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam followed him to stop him. As he followed him, he saw that this man was not going towards Medina or towards his house. Instead, he was leaving towards the deserts. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam decided to follow him. And he followed him until a place where this man reached, where in the middle of the desert there was a man who was totally disabled, seated in the middle of the desert. This man goes there, takes the bread out and all the apples out and presents it to him and says, I have brought this for you from the shops. This is for you. To somebody who had just seen that this man had come all the way from Medina to just bring this disabled man who could not walk, it looks like a very noble cause. It looks wonderful, mashallah, what a wonderful man who did not think about anything but thinking about this disabled person is something very noble, extremely noble. As soon as he delivered to this disabled man what he had brought for him, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam held him by the shoulder. Imam was following him. He held him by the shoulder and said, my friend, what have you done? What is this that you are doing? You have stolen from the store of that man. The man looks at the Imam without recognizing him, says, have you ever read Quran? Allahu Akbar. He is asking to the person in whose house Quran was revealed. Have you ever read Quran? Imam alayhi salatu wasalam responds in positive, yes, I have read Quran. He says, does it not say in Quran, if you have read Quran, does it not say in there that if you do one gunah, if you do one misdeed, you get one gunah. And if you do one sawab, you get 10 sawab for it. One good deed, you get 10 sawab for it. Have you heard or have you not heard? Is it there or is it not there in Quran? It is there. Imam said, yes, it is there, I've read it. One bad deed will give you only one gunah. One good deed will give you 10. Sawab, 10 hasanat. So he looks at Imam alayhi salatu wasalam and says, listen, my friend. He doesn't recognize who he's speaking to. He says, listen, my friend. I have stolen 7 things from there. I've got 7 gunah. I've delivered all these 7 things to this man. I've earned 70 sawab. Minus 7, I'm still better off, 63 credit. He says this to Imam. I'm saying it in my words, probably the way I say it, it sounds probably something like a laughter. Yes, indeed. I'm saying it the way I present it to you. He looks at the Imam and he says, I am still better off. 70 sawab I have earned versus 7 gunah. I am still better off. My book of records will still show credit in my account. Imam alayhi salatu salam says, indeed, what you have spoken is the truth. But listen, my friend, it looks like you have not read Quran and Majeed. Does it not say in Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah only accepts it from those who are people of taqwa and not people who steal. Your act in the beginning was stealing. You forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you thought that Allah thinks like you. You forgot about that. You came and delivered these things. It looks noble to you, but it is haram what you have done. As far as the disabled man is concerned, he has no idea of what has happened. But your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a problem, for you think that he thinks like you. This is our crooked mind. All of us, when I say all of us, I mean those people who have not understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not know the concept of Tawheed. They do not know what created them, who created them. Let me give you another example. When something, a calamity befalls us, any small calamity or a great calamity befalls us. If it is an illness, we immediately will go to the doctor and ask the doctor to cure us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a doctor there to earn his risk as well as to look after the body for which he has studied. If the doctor fails, and he says, he raises his hand and throws the towel, the man resorts to other ideas, knowing that he is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that he worships none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now moves further. He has left the doctor, and now he is looking for probably somebody else. When he fails, he starts looking for those people who write tawiz. When he fails, he starts looking for those people who write things against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not believe in Allah. They go into those areas which are haram in Islam, trying to find a cure for the disease. Whereas Allah says in Quran, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي When I fall ill, none can cure me except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means Allah now in my list is last. Leave home when you are ill. If you believe in Tawheed, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave home by saying, Ya Allah, there is none that can cure me, and I seek cure of my illness from you, and then visit a doctor. Allah will give shifa in the hands of the doctor for you. For it is He who cures. But no, man in his crooked mind deviates all the time away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until a problem arises. When there is no help, he goes to a malimu. Malimu is peer in India and Pakistan, what we call peer. Go to the dargah, you put a flower there, you give jalebi to people, you do this, you do that, and then you go to a malimu, and the malimu tells you you have to bring a black chicken and a white chicken together. And the blood of this black chicken and the white chicken has to be mixed together. And then one day I witnessed one of the boys who went to this malimu in Dar es Salaam. And he had a problem. And I told him not to go, and he went. I told him again not to go, and I said, resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Only with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you be contented, and your heart will be contented. But he went. And he came back with million ideas which were not even understood by anyone. So I decided one day to ask him to take me with him without telling the man who was preparing these cures for him that I was anything to do with religion, so that I could observe what was happening. For if he knew that I had anything to do with religion, probably he would not have done those things. Believe you me, and I saw this with my eyes. The man brought a black chicken, that was tamed by himself. He said, the price of this chicken is so much. What we do now is I put a chicken on this stool, I tie it down to the stool, and then you sit. Go everywhere. You will fail except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our crooked mind makes us think otherwise. We move into every direction, jump everywhere, simply because we have not understood ourselves. Had we understood ourselves, we would have understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there would have been no problem. So the secret of getting contentment in life is to know thyself, is to know yourself, and through you, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without which you and I will never be able to acquire for ourselves bliss. في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand yourself. This is the theme of a human life. This should be the focus of the human life. Who am I? Why am I? Why do I worship? What is the reason for my worship? Who am I worshipping? Why am I worshipping? But my crooked mind takes me from here to there, from here to there, from here to there, all the time. How will I understand Allah? It will be too late. By the time Malakul Maut comes to us, and he is there face to face with us, human being will say to the Malakul Maut, and this is in Quran al-Majid, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If you grant me little respite, then I shall stand in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become a good person. Allah says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Not one second the respite will be granted to one whose time has already come. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. For He knows what you do. Our crooked mind, here and there. And then, the moment we have achieved something, the moment we have reached an area where we feel, MashaAllah, I am someone, I am something, I am this, I am that, the diseases of the nafs begin. Yesterday I said, one of the diseases I mentioned yesterday, which I will continue with in a minute. Our power within our nafs, the faculties, are fighting within themselves. They do not know what to do. They do not know how to acquire bliss. The power of pleasure and desire disturbs me. The power of anger disturbs me. The power of intellect is suppressed. The power of imagination moves so far beyond even man can ever think about, eventually weakening and strengthening the position of every other power and weakening the position of the power of intellect. Finally, at the end of the day, all the decisions are wrong. Thinking is crooked. Walking is crooked. Everything is crooked. Everything. How can we progress further as far as our spiritual life is concerned without understanding ourselves? This is not why we were created. We were not created. We are different from animals. The animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created will, as a circle, will be born and die, and they have no answers to give. It is a human being who is answerable for every action, every deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my fellow brothers, so long as we remain crooked in our thinking, so long as we remain within the shell that we were brought in and not want to get out or being scared to put our heads outside the shell, we shall never be able to progress. The only progress as far as spirituality is concerned is to understand myself, is to understand the purpose for which I was sent, is to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to understand why I have been created, what is the reason, and what does my Lord want from me and how I can fulfill it. This is the secret of any life. Otherwise our crooked mind will take us everywhere but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, you know, in the morning before brushing our teeth, when we wake up early in the morning, there is a taqibat. Taqibat are those du'as that you recite after the namazes and the tasbih and everything. Early in the morning as we wake up for namaz subh, there is a du'a we recite, Bismillahi wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alih wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah inna Allah basirun bil ibad. What is the meaning of this du'a? Imagine, think about what we are saying to Allah. This is early in the morning. I have just woken up from my bed. I have just prayed 2 rakat namaz. I have not had breakfast. I have not brushed my teeth. Bismillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah. This is what I say early in the morning. I have left my entire affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the afternoon, I am with the walimu. In the morning I have said, I have left my entire affair in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the afternoon I am somewhere else. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is watchful over His servant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And then we say, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is enough for us. We say this in the morning. Allah is sufficient for us. We do not require anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Only that will happen to me. What Allah wishes. For there is no might, there is no power except the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say this every morning. Then what do I say? ما شاء الله لا ما شاء الناس. Only that will happen that Allah desires. None of that will happen that any other human being desires to me. ما شاء الله وإن كره الناس. Only that will happen to me that Allah desires, even if people dislike it. We say this in the morning. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي. All those things. In the afternoon, if a cat was to pass, a black cat was to pass before our car, we will take a U-turn. Serious. This is the case. This is what it is. We are driving a car, and a poor black cat has passed in front of our car. We have taken a U-turn. thinking that this is a bad omen. Nothing will happen except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. He could be going back towards accident. The other way. This is my view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I have not understood myself. Because I have not realized who I am. Because I do not know what I am. How can I understand the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I understand the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the morning I say, you are the best. Look at the dichotomy in my conduct. Look at the dichotomy within myself. In the morning I have said, there is none but you. Anything will not happen to me. Nothing will happen to me except what you desire. In the afternoon I am scared of a black cat. An ordinary black cat that is passing from one door, one house to the other house. And if you kill it by mistake, Allahu Akbar. I don't know what will happen. This is our belief in Allah. This is our tawheed. This is how we understand Allah. How can we understand Him if we are unable to understand ourselves? We will not be able to progress. And then man has the audacity to feel that he has reached high levels just because of 200 pounds extra that he has in his pocket. Just because of certain achievements in his life. Man has the audacity to feel, or he feels within himself, that false sense of security. You know, Bahlol Dana, my favorite character. Dana is intelligent. Diwana is mad. We call him Bahlol Dana, not Bahlol Diwana. You know, there was a poet that says, Mere Mola tu mujhe aqilo dana kar de. Oh my Lord, make me aqil, make me intelligent, make me an intelligent man. Ay mere maula tu mujhe aqilo dana kar de. Aisa waisa nahi, Bahlol ke jaisa kar de. Don't make me an ordinary person, make me like Bahlol. Bahlol Dana, during the time of Harun Rashid, was sitting in the graveyard. Bahlol happened to pass from there. And he saw Bahlol Dana sitting in the graveyard with a big stick in his hand, putting it over the grave. So Harun Rashid said to Bahlol, Bahlol, you are indeed a madman. What people say about you is true, you are a madman. Although Harun Rashid knew Bahlol was a very wise person, he was an alim, he was not an ordinary man. He says to Bahlol, Bahlol, you are indeed a madman. The whole world is outside, enjoying themselves. You are sitting inside the Qabristan, passing your time in Qabristan. Bahlol say, I am not a madman. I am not crazy. I am not mad. It is you who is mad. The whole world is waiting to come here. I am already here. The whole world is waiting to come here. You want me to go out again from here? Harun knew that he could not ask any further question. However, he could not resist when he saw Bahlol putting a stick over a grave. So he said, Bahlol, what are you doing? Bahlol looks at him and says, I am only measuring the graves. Why are you measuring the graves, Bahlol? I am measuring the grave to see that when you die, you will also be in a 6-foot grave. When I die, I will also be in there, 6-foot. Whether you are a king or I am a pauper, we are all going to have 6-foot graves. And man thinks in this life, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of his life, he thinks he has reached a level. He thinks he has done, he has achieved so much that I am I. Man, Ayatollah Khomeini, rahmahullah, said, Lafzeman shaytunas. The word man, I, is shaytan, is the biggest shaytan. How does this begin? Self-love. One starts to love oneself so much. Looking in the mirror for 1 hour, talking to the mirror. Trying to put the... Nowadays, you see, there are many types of hairstyles. It's those who remove everything from here and only keep something on top, as if a saucer was kept on their head and then everything was removed from the side. And then he admires himself and looks at himself and loves himself and likes himself for 1 hour. And then when he goes inside, look at his wardrobe. He has the best of the designer's clothes inside there. French Connection UK is in there. Giorgio Armani is in there. Levi is in there. Pierre Cardin is in there. So many clothes inside there. Why? Think about it. Why? You see, there's Nike there. Everything you can, Tommy Hilfiger there. Every designer name is inside. You see, they don't make a mama of Nike. Otherwise, I would have been wearing it. They don't make a mama of Nike. Otherwise, I would have probably bought a Nike mama myself. All these things are there that bring within a person a false sense of security. As he walks out, he wants to be estimated in the esteem of the people outside. He wants to be known how he looks. As far as inside is concerned, he is as dirty as any other person. But he thinks he has reached a level. I'm not saying don't wear it. You see, they don't sell coffins. Designer coffins. I probably will form a company to sell designer coffins. There is no designer coffins. When you wear the best of the clothes, when you die, it is an ordinary burde Yamani that is mustahab to wear inside your grave. And man thinks, by all these things that he has, he feels, Allahu Akbar, I am I. When Bahlul Dana, one day, I don't know where he got some money from, he became somewhat a rich person, comfortable than what he was before, and he bought a brand new cloth for himself, a gown for himself, brand new. The moment he went outside, people started doing salam to him. Those people who never did salam to him, they started doing, Bahlul, salamu alaikum. Bahlul, salamu alaikum. Bahlul, salamu alaikum. Bahlul would look at them and say, inshallah, I will deliver it. I will deliver it. I will deliver it. At the end of the day, when he used to come back home, he used to remove his cloth, put it on his chair and say, Muhammad Naqvi has sent salams to you. And so has sent salams to you. And so has sent salams to you. Because our crooked mind believes that somebody with wealth, somebody with jah, somebody with status is better than Allah or sharik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I feel myself that I am something. What am I? Kya hoon main? Nothing. But an insignificant germ in the wave of millions of creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am nothing but an insignificant being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the realization that is required to cure the disease of nafs. The delegation from Iran said to the Holy Prophet, remove ruku, because they did not want to go into ruku in front of people. It was not befitting them. Takabbur. Kya hoon main? What am I? Ek martaba, Peygamber Islam Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Better way. Peygamber Islam, ایک فقیر آدمی پیغمبر کے ساتھ بیٹھا ہوا تو قرآن مجید یہ بیٹھا ہوا تھا. اتنے میں ایک امیر آدمی آیا اور آ کے اس فقیر کے نزدیک بیٹھ گیا. جب اس امیر نے یہ عرض کیا کہ میرے نزدیک ایک بدبودار فقیر انسان بیٹھا ہوا ہے, تو اس نے اپنے ابا کے دامن کو ہٹا لیا تاکہ اس کی ابا اس فقیر کی ابا سے مس نہ ہو جائے. یہ ہے غرور, یہ ہے تکبر. جب پیغمبر اسلام نے یہ دیکھا اس منظر کو, قرآن مجید کی آیت ہے, عبس وتولى ان جاءه الاعمى. اللہ اکبر. وہ کہتے ہیں پیغمبر نے فراؤن کیا, پیغمبر نے منہ پھیر لیا. عبس وتولى ان جاءه الاعمى. اہل سنہ والجماعت سلامت بڑے بازم اللہ. اہل سنہ والجماعت کے مفسرین اس کا ترجمہ یوں کرتے ہیں کہ جب اندھا آدمی, وہ فقیر آدمی, اندھا آدمی جب پیغمبر کے پاس آیا تو پیغمبر نے فراؤن کیا. نعوذ باللہ, استغفر اللہ. یہ غلط ترجمہ ہے. اہل التشیع کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ جب پیغمبر اسلام نے فرار کیا لیکن اس فقیر کے لیے نہیں کیا, اس امیر کی حرکت پہ کیا کہ اس امیر نے اپنے ابا کے دامن کو ہٹا لیا. جب اس امیر نے ریئلائز کیا کہ میں نے اپنے تکبر کا اظہار کیا, میں نے لوگوں میں اپنا تکبر دکھایا, میں نے لوگوں کو دکھایا ہے کہ میں ایک تکبر متکبر انسان ہوں, ایک فقیر کے پاس سے میں نے اپنے ابا کے دامن کو ہٹا لیا, اور پیغمبر مجھ سے ناراض ہو گئے, تو پیغمبر کو دیکھ کے کہا یا رسول اللہ میں معافی چاہتا ہوں. پیغمبر نے کہا میری معافی کی کیا ضرورت ہے, جس سے تم نے حرکت کی اس سے معافی مانگو, اس سے کہو کہ تمہیں معاف کرے. کہا میں معاف کرتا ہوں, میں معافی چاہتا ہوں, تم مجھے معاف کرو. پیغمبر سے کہنے لگا یا رسول اللہ میری غلطی کے عوض میں, ان پلیس آف واٹ دی مسٹیک دیٹ آئی ہیو میڈ, میری غلطی کے عوض میں میں اپنی آدھی دولت اس آدمی کو دینے کے لیے تیار ہوں. پیغمبر نے اس فقیر کو دیکھ کے کہا کہ بھائی تمہیں آدھی دولت مل رہی ہے, یہ امیر تمہیں اپنی آدھی دولت دے رہا ہے. فقیر کہنے لگا یا رسول اللہ مجھے اس کی دولت کا ایک پائی نہیں چاہیے. کیوں نہیں چاہیے؟ کہیں ایسا نہ ہو کہ اس کی دولت آنے پہ مجھ میں بھی غرور و تکبر آ جائے, کہ میں بھی کہیں تکبر کے اندر آ جاؤں, مجھے اس کی ایک پائی نہیں چاہیے. اس کے باوجود انسان سمجھتا ہے میں کچھ ہوں. یہ دولت میل ہے ہاتھ کا, آج ہے کل نہیں. کیا آپ نہیں دیکھا ایک شب میں انسان فقیر ہو جائے؟ چھوڑیے فقیری کے عالم کو, کیا ہے انسان جو تکبر کرتا ہے, جو خود تکبر کرتا ہے, اس میں کیا ہے, کیا چیز ہے اس میں جس سے وہ تکبر کرتا ہے؟ اگر اللہ کی طرف سے ایک سٹروک اس کو ہو جائے, ایک سٹروک, ایک بس, نہ ہاتھ چلے گا, نہ پیر چلے گا, نہ کھا سکے گا, نہ پی سکے گا, اس کی دولت کچھ نہیں خرید پائے گی اس کے لیے. کیسا تکبر؟ کون ہو تم, کہاں پہنچ گئے ہو تم؟ کچھ نہیں, تم انسگنیفیکنٹ ہو. جب تم ریئلائز کر لو گے کہ تم کچھ نہیں ہو. آپ جانتے ہیں جناب زینب صلی اللہ وسلم علیہ کے شوہر عبداللہ ابن جعفر بہت رئیس آدمی تھے, بزنس مین تھے, بہت پیسے والے تھے, بہت مدینہ منورہ کے بڑے بزنس مین میں شمار کیے جاتے تھے, لیکن ان کا اخلاق, لیکن ان کا انداز, لیکن ان کی کیریکٹر ایسے کیریکٹر تھے کہ کبھی بھی کوئی فقیر ان کے گھر سے خالی ہاتھ نہیں جاتا تھا. ہم تکبر کرتے ہیں روزانہ, تکبر تکبر, کچھ آ گیا میرے پاس ان کا سمجھنے لگا کہ میں ہوں. کچھ نہیں ہے انسان, کچھ نہیں. ایک موت کا جھٹکا, جوان بیٹے کی موت, گھر میں باپ کی موت, ماں کی موت, ایک ہارٹ اٹیک, تھوڑا سا ایکسیڈنٹ, کچھ بھی, ایک پل میں آنن فآنن انسان کوئی چیز نہیں, کچھ. پھر بھی انسان یہ سوچتا ہے کہ میں کچھ ہوں. یہ خود پسندی سے شروع ہوتا ہے, تکبر تک پہنچتا ہے, پھر فرعون جیسا ہو جاتا ہے انسان. انا ربکم الاعلی, میں تمہارا اعلی خدا ہوں, میں تمہارا بڑا خدا ہوں. یہ فرعون نے تکبر کیا تھا جب اس کے پاس جاہ و حشم آ گیا تھا, جب اس کے پاس دولت آ گئی تھی, جب اس کے پاس سب کچھ آ گیا تو کہنے لگا میں تمہارا خدا ہوں. عبداللہ ابن جعفر لوگوں کو پیسہ دیتے تھے, کوئی بھی آتا تھا اس کو پیسہ دیتے تھے, جو بھی آتا تھا اس کو پیسہ دیتے تھے. لیکن راستے میں جب کسی سے ملتے تھے, چاہے خود انہوں نے کسی کو ہیلپ کیا ہو یا کوئی فقیر ہو یا امیر ہو, پہلے خود سر جھکا کے سلام کرتے تھے. یہ تھا ان کا اخلاق. ہم سمجھتے ہیں کہ ہم نے چار پانچ چیزیں دنیا میں اچیو کر لی اور ہم کوئی چیز ہو گئے. کچھ نہیں میرے عزیز دوستو. ایک مرتبہ محمود و ایاز, آپ نے محمود بادشاہ تھا, ایاز اس کا غلام تھا, غلام, آرڈینری غلام تھا ایاز. علامہ اقبال کہتے ہیں آ گیا عین لڑائی میں اگر وقت نماز, ایک صف میں ہی کھڑے رہ گئے محمود و ایاز, نہ کوئی بندہ رہا نہ کوئی بندہ نواز. علامہ اقبال شکوا بہت معروف و مشہور, اس کے اندر کہتے ہیں نہ کوئی بندہ رہا نہ کوئی بندہ نواز. محمود و ایاز یہ دو, کنگ اور خود بادشاہ اور اس کا غلام, लेकिन अयाज बहुत नजदीक हो गया था, क्लोज हो गया था बादशाह के साथ, महमूद के साथ। लोगों को ये गवारा नहीं हुआ, जो बादशाह के नजदीक हो गए लोग, जो दूसरे नौकर हैं, दूसरे गुलाम हैं, उन लोगों को ये गवारा नहीं हुआ कि अयाज महमूद से इतना नजदीक क्यों हो गया। तो लोगों ने वही जो हमारी आदत है, चाबी लगाना, फूंक मारना, वो एक कहते हैं नम्माम, कभी इंशाल्लाह नम्माम के बारे में बात करूंगा। नम्माम जानते हैं कौन होता है? अंग्रेजी में उसे कहते हैं वेवर, अंग्रेजी में, अरबी में उसे मुजब्जबीन कहते हैं, स्वाहिली में जबजबीना कहते हैं वही, और बिजनेस लैंग्वेज में उसको हम कहते हैं क्लियरिंग एंड फॉरवर्डिंग एजेंट। वो यहाँ की बात सुनता है और वहां पहुंचाता है, और वहां की बात सुन के यहाँ पहुंचाता है, उसको कहते हैं नम्माम। नम्मामी शुरू हो गई, महमूद की छोटी अयाज की छोटी छोटी बातों को किंग के कान में पहुंचा देना, अयाज की जेलसी, लोग जेलस हो गए कि अयाज महमूद के नजदीक क्यों हो गया, यहाँ तक के तोहमतें शुरू हो गई। अयाज को महमूद ने एक कमरा दिया था, एक रूम दिया था, जिस रूम में अयाज सोता था रात को, कपड़े दिए थे जो पहनता था अयाज। लोगों ने अब शुरू कर दिया तोहमत लगाना, तोहमत लगाते लगाते किंग के कानों में, महमूद के कानों में, बादशाह के कानों में ये बात पहुंचा दी कि अयाज को जो कमरा आपने दिया है, इस कमरे में अयाज किसी को न आने देता है, न इस कमरे से किसी को अयाज निकलने देता है, इसने आपके खजानों में से बहुत कुछ सोना वोना चुराया है कि ये अपने रूम में रखता है, और न किसी को ये कमरे में आने देता है, न किसी को कमरे से निकलने देता है। अब किंग भी शैतान के वसवसे के अंदर आ गया, उसने जब सुना तो कहा कि अयाज ऐसा नहीं कर सकता, अलबत्ता मैं अयाज को अपने पास रखूंगा, तुम जाके उसके कमरे को सर्च करना। लोग गए, जब कमरा तोड़ के खोला तो अंदर गए, देखा कुछ नहीं, एक फटी हुई चादर है जो अयाज लेट के जब सोता था तो उस फटी हुई चादर को ओढ़ता था, और एक फटे हुए जूते पड़े हुए थे। ये समझे कि शायद जमीन में खजाना गड़ा हुआ है, दीवारों में गड़ा हुआ है, जमीन को भी खोदा, दीवारों को भी देखा, लेकिन कुछ नहीं मिला। हाथ जोड़ के महमूद के पास आ गए, कहा बादशाह सलामत, हमको कुछ नहीं मिला अयाज के कमरे में। तो बादशाह ने अयाज से मुखातिब होकर कहा, अयाज क्या बात है, तुम्हारे कमरे में कुछ नहीं मिला, और तुम जब कमरे में जाते हो तो किसी को आने नहीं देते, जब कमरे से निकलते हो तो ताला लगा के निकलते हो कि कोई तुम्हारे कमरे में दाखिल न हो, ये क्यों तुम ऐसा करते हो, हालांकि एक फटी हुई चादर और एक फटे हुए जूतों के सिवा कुछ भी नहीं। तो अयाज खड़ा हुआ, कहा बादशाह सलामत, ये कपड़े जो मैं पहने हुआ हूँ ये आपके दिए हुए, आपकी इनायत, ये जूते नए जो मैंने पहने हैं ये आपके दिए हुए, ये जो कुछ भी मेरे पास है ये आपका दिया हुआ है, मेरा जो असली, मेरा जो खुद चीज है वो एक फटी हुई चादर है और ये जूते हैं। मैं उस कमरे में जाता हूँ सिर्फ अपने आप को याद दिलाने, अयाज तुम्हारी हकीकत ये है, तुम्हारी हकीकत ये नहीं कि तुम जो अच्छे कपड़े पहने हुए हो, ये रियलाइजेशन कि मैं कुछ नहीं हूँ, मेरी हकीकत ये है कि मैं बगैर कपड़े के इस दुनिया में आया था, फकत दो कपड़े पहन के मुझे दोबारा कब्र में जाना है। इस रियलाइजेशन को जब इंसान जहन में रखेगा तो दुनिया का कोई तकब्बुर उसके नजदीक नहीं आ सकता। फिर भी इंसान सब कुछ हासिल कर लेने के बाद ये सोचता है कि मैं कुछ नहीं हूं, मेरे दोस्तों दुनिया में कोई कोई चीज नहीं, कुल्लु मन अलैहा फान वयबका वजह रब्बिका ذو الجلال والاکرام, जो कुछ भी इस दुनिया में है सब कुछ फना हो जाएगा। जिसको तकब्बुर करने का हक था, अगर था, वो रसूल थे जिसने लाखों के दिलों को जीत लिया था। आज आप सोचिए जरा, ऑस्ट्रेलिया हमसे 10 घंटा आगे, सिडनी ऑस्ट्रेलिया हम लोगों से 10 घंटा आगे है। जरा सोचिए कि पैगंबर इस्लाम की अचीवमेंट को देखिए, उसके बाद आप नीचे आइए, कोई 1 घंटा पीछे, कोई 2 घंटा पीछे, कोई 4 घंटा पीछे, कोई 6 घंटा पीछे, हम 10 घंटा पीछे, कोई 12 घंटा पीछे, कोई 14 घंटा पीछे, कोई 24 घंटा पीछे। लेकिन पैगंबर इस्लाम ने लोगों का दिल कैसे जीता है, वहां मुआज़िन खड़ा होकर कहता है अशहदु अन्ना मुहम्मद रसूलुल्लाह, 24 घंटे कितनी मरतबा मुहम्मद रसूलुल्लाह की आवाज आती पूरी दुनिया में, 24 घंटे के अंदर कितनी मरतबा چاروں طرف سے آواز گونجتی ہے اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. اگر کسی کو حق تھا تکبر کرنے کا تو یہ شخصیت تھی، لیکن پھر بھی بوریے میں بیٹھ کے دنیا کے دلوں کو جیتا ہے، کبھی محل کے اندر نہیں رہے. پیغمبر کا ایک نام تھا خاتف النعل، یعنی جوتا سینے والے. خود پیغمبر جوتا، اپنا جوتا سیتے تھے. لوگوں کی سواری پہ سوار ہونا عیب سمجھا جاتا تھا عرب میں، پیغمبر اسلام لوگوں کی سواری پہ سوار ہوتے تھے دنیا کو بتانے کے لیے کہ تکبر کوئی شے نہیں. وہ شاعر کہتا ہے، عیسیٰ نے، جناب عیسیٰ، عیسیٰ نے فقط مردوں کو جانے دی. جب جناب عیسیٰ کا دور تھا، اس زمانے میں میڈیکل سائنس پیک پہ تھا، پیک. کچھ بھی ہوتا تھا لوگ بس میڈیسن کو خدا سمجھتے تھے، کچھ بھی ہوتا تھا میڈیسن کو خدا سمجھتے تھے. اللہ نے اپنی قدرت دکھانے کے لیے اپنے بندے کے اندر ایک قوت رکھی کہ اگر دو رکعت نماز پڑھ کے ہاتھوں کو اٹھاتے تھے تو مردہ زندہ ہو جاتا تھا. خود میڈیکل، دنیا کی میڈیکل سائنس اس زمانے کی سوچ کے حیران تھی کہ یہ آدمی کون ہے. اسی لیے تو خدا کا بیٹا کہا ان کو، اسی لیے تو جناب عیسیٰ کو خدا کا بیٹا کہا کہ یہ بہت بڑا معجزہ تھا، مردے کو زندہ کر دے. تو شاعر کہتا ہے کہ عیسیٰ نے فقط مردوں کو جانے دی، عیسیٰ نے فقط مردوں کو جانے دی ہیں، اور بے جا کو محمد نے زبانیں دی ہیں. پتھروں نے پیغمبر اسلام کی پھتیلی پہ اذان دی ہے، اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ. کہتا ہے عیسیٰ نے فقط مردوں کو جانے دی ہیں اور بے جا کو محمد نے زبانیں دی ہیں. یہ واقعہ ملتا ہے کہ سنگریزوں نے ہاتھوں پہ محمد کی اذانیں دی ہیں. اگر کسی کو حق تھا تو پیغمبر کو تھا، مگر پیغمبر نے کبھی تکبر نہیں کیا، بلکہ ہم کو سمجھایا کہ دیکھو تکبر نفس کی بیماری ہے، اسے ہٹا لو. جب تک تکبر رہے گا اس وقت تک تم پروگرس نہیں ہو سکتے. جب تک تمہارے نفس کے اندر گندگی رہے گی، بیماریاں رہیں گی، تم آگے نہیں بڑھ سکتے. اسپریچوالٹی کا پروگرس ختم ہو جائے جب تک ہم ان چیزوں کو نہیں سمجھیں گے ہمارے عزیز دوستوں، تب تک ہم آگے کبھی نہیں بڑھ سکتے. یہی باتیں سمجھانے کے لیے ائمہ اطہار آئے، پیغمبر اسلام آئے، 124,000 انبیاء آئے ہم کو بتانے کے لیے کہ بھائی یہ اچھی چیز ہے تمہارے آخرت کے لیے، یہ بری چیز ہے تمہارے آخرت کے لیے، اس سے پرہیز کرو، اس کی طرف رغبت رکھو. لیکن ہم نے نہیں سمجھا. بس عزاداروں، پانچ سمے حسین کربلا میں ہے، دو محرم سے پانی بند ہو گیا. آپ جو سنتے ہیں کہ 7 محرم سے پانی بند ہوا، 7 محرم سے پانی بند نہیں ہوا، پانی 2 محرم کو بند ہوا، 7 محرم کو جتنا سٹاک تھا پانی کا وہ ختم ہو گیا. اسی لیے 7 9 محرم آئی ہے، 9 محرم. سید الشہداء نے اپنے بچپن کے ساتھی کو یاد کیا. کون بچپن کا ساتھی؟ جسے بچپنے میں مدینہ منورہ میں پیغمبر اسلام گود میں اٹھاتے تھے، بچوں کے درمیان جب حبیب ابن مظاہر کھیلا کرتے تھے تو پیغمبر اسلام حبیب ابن مظاہر کو اپنی گود میں اٹھایا کرتے تھے اور آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری رہتے تھے. جب لوگ پوچھا کرتے تھے یا رسول اللہ آپ کیوں گریا کرتے ہیں، فرمایا ایک ایسا دن آئے گا کہ یہ میرے حسین پہ قربان ہو جائے گا. جب 9 محرم آئی ہے تو امام علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کا خط پہنچا ہے حبیب ابن مظاہر کو کوفے میں. حبیب میرے بچپن کے ساتھی، حبیب میرے بچپن کے ساتھی. اس وقت تک حبیب کی بھویں گر چکے تھے، حبیب ضعیف ہو چکے تھے، حبیب داڑھی میں خضاب لگایا کرتے تھے، اتنا ضعیف ہو چکے تھے. امام علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے خط بھیجا، حبیب حسین دشمن کے نرغے میں चारों तरफ से दुश्मन के नरगे में हुसैन फंसा हुआ है। अब हुसैन तनतना है, हबीब हुसैन की हिमायत करने के लिए आओगे? ये खत लिख के मौला ने भेजा। जब कूफे में हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर के पास ये खत पहुंचा है, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर अपनी अहलिया के साथ खाना खा रहे थे। इतने में जब खत आया है और नामबर जब खत लेके आया है तो एक मरतबा हबीब का लुकमा अटक गया। लबीब जो खाना खा रहे थे वो अब हलक से नहीं उतर रहा था, आंखों से आंसू जारी होने लगे। अहलिया ने पूछा, हबीब क्या बात है, क्यों गिरिया कर रहे हो? फरमाया, हुसैन का खत आया है, दुश्मनों ने घेर लिया है, फातिमा का लाल नरगा आधा में है। एक मरतबा अहलिया ने कहा, हबीब क्या सोच रहे हो, जाओ हबीब हुसैन की हिमायत करो। बस हबीब ने क्या किया, वक्त अच्छा नहीं था, हबीब ने क्या किया, अपने गुलाम को बुलाया और गुलाम से कहा, मेरा घोड़ा लेके कूफे के शहर के बाहर मेरा इंतजार करना, रात जब आएगी, रात की तारीकी में हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर आएगा, घोड़े पे सवार होके कर्बला चले जाएगा। गुलाम ने घोड़ा लिया और घोड़ा लेके गुलाम कूफे के बाहर चला गया। हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर रात की तारीकी में अब आ रहे थे, जब आने में कुछ देर हो गई तो हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर कहते हैं, मैंने देखा मेरा गुलाम घोड़े से कुछ गुफ्तगू कर रहा था। गुलाम घोड़े से गुफ्तगू कर रहा था, क्या गुफ्तगू कर रहा था? मेरे आका को आने में देर हो गई, ए आसब ए घोड़े, मेरे आका को आने में देर हो गई, अगर मेरा मौला नहीं आया, अगर मेरा आका नहीं आया तो मैं तुम पर सवार होके हुसैन पे कुर्बान हो जाऊंगा। इतने में हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर पहुंचे और एक मरतबा घोड़े पे सवार हुए, सवार होके गुलाम की तरफ देखा और कहा, ए गुलाम तुमने वफा की, गुलाम हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर तुमको आजाद कर रहा है। एक मर्तबा गुलाम ने कदमों को पकड़ लिया, मेरे आका क्या ये मुमकिन है कि मैं भी आपके साथ चलूं, मैं भी हुसैन पे कुर्बान हो जाऊं? कहा, नहीं, मैंने तुम्हें आजाद किया। बस एक मर्तबा गुलाम ने कहा, क्या मेरा खून इस काबिल नहीं है कि हुसैन पे गवाह हो जाए? एक मर्तबा हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर ने उस गुलाम को लिया और हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर कर्बला पहुंचे। हुसैन इस्तकबाल के लिए आगे बढ़े, अब्बास इस्तकबाल के लिए आगे बढ़े, अली अकबर आगे बढ़े, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का इस्तकबाल किया। एक मर्तबा फिजा ने सलाम भिजवाया, जनाब जैनब का सलाम भिजवाया। जब हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर के कानों में आवाज आई कि जैनब ने सलाम भेजा है, अपने मुंह पे तमाचे मारे, जमीन पे बैठ गए, अल्लाह अल्लाह ये क्या जमाना आ गया, कूफे की शहजादी मुझ गुलाम को सलाम भेज रही है। बस अजादारो, कुछ ही देर के बाद हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर को इजाजत मिली, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर जंग के लिए चले गए। ज्यादा देर जंग न कर पाए और घोड़े पे जोरे से जमीन पे तशरीफ लाए, मौला को आवाज दी, अस्सलाम वालेकुम या अबा अब्दुल्लाह, अदरिकनी, आइए मेरी मदद को। मौला आए, हबीब के लाशे के पास बैठे, हबीब खुदा हाफिज, जाओ तुम्हें जाम कौसर नसीब हो, हबीब खुदा हाफिज, ये कह के हुसैन खड़े हुए, खड़े होके खैमे की तरफ आए। अब तारीख का एक जुमला सुनिए और मैं अपनी तकरीर के दामन को समेट लूंगा। तारीख का एक जुमला सुनिए, बहुत रोएंगे आप। तारीख का एक जुमला सुनिए, एक मरतबा जब आशूर का दिन गुजर गया, जब शाम गरीबा गुजर गई, जब 11 मुहर्रम को ये लुटा हुआ काफिला कर्बला से निकला है, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का सर नौके नेजा पे बुलंद था और जब ये लुटा हुआ काफिला कूफा पहुंचा है, तारीख कहती है, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का बेटा, जिसे मालूम नहीं था कि आशूर के दिन हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर कत्ल हो गए, कुछ दोस्तों के साथ कूफे में खेल रहा था, नादा उस बच्चे की नजर उस नोक पे पड़ी जिस पे हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का सर था। एक मर्तबा अपने दोस्तों से कहा, देखो दोस्तों, किसी ने मेरे बाबा के सर को नोके नेजा पे बुलंद किया, आओ चलो हम अपने बाबा के सर को ले ले। हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का बेटा, तवज्जो चाहता हूँ, हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का बेटा आया, उस शकी पे वार किया जिसने हबीब इब्ने मजाहिर का सर नोके नेजा पे बुलंद किया था और अपने बाप का सर लिया, سینے سے لگایا اور ایک جملہ کہا, جس کا وارث زندہ ہوتا ہے اس کے باپ کے سر کو اس طرح نوکے نیزہ پہ بلند نہیں کیا جاتا. ایک مرتبہ زنجیروں کی جھنکار کی آواز آئی. عابد بیمار حسرت بھری نظروں سے بابا کو دیکھ کے کہتے, بابا مجبور ہوں, ہاتھوں میں ہتھکڑیاں ہیں, پاؤں میں میری